I know it's been a long day for several of you, and this is possibly your fourth or your fifth service here in St. Stephen's. But it's such an absolute privilege to come into his presence as the family of God. As we were driving to church this evening, I was really moved by the words of one of these songs that was playing on the CD. And it said, "I love you, Lord, but I want to love you more. I need you, Lord, but I want to need you more." May that be our prayer this evening. The theme that God has laid on my heart for us to reflect on this evening is, He is able. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and that can be found on page 1175 of the Church Bibles.
A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. One of my favorite stories when I was a little girl is the one Mama used to tell me about Corrie ten Boom. I find her stories very stirring, and I found that even as I was preparing for this evening. Although filled with incredible pain, they point out very clearly that God can use all of our life experiences for his greater purpose, more than we could possibly ask or imagine. When World War II broke out, this Dutch Christian family opened their home as hiding places for several Jews and Dutch resistance fighters so that they could escape the Nazi Holocaust. 800 lives rescued, and then they were betrayed by someone who turned out to be an informant. All the family were arrested and imprisoned. When Corrie's 84-year-old father was told that he could be condemned to death for saving the Jews, he said that he found it an honor to give his life for God's chosen people. He died shortly afterwards in the Scheveningen prison. Corrie and her sister were deported to the infamous Ravensbrück concentration camp. The sisters were able to stay together during their imprisonment until her sister, Betsy, died. Just before her death, Betsy said these words to Corrie, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." 12 days later, Corrie was miraculously rescued, released from prison even, due to a clerical error. A week after her release, all the female prisoners of her age group were killed, and she lived to tell. None of our lives are likely to seem as dramatic as this. However, all of us yearn for the security of his love and the deliverance that only he can bring. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is one of encouragement. He wrote this in about 60 AD when he was imprisoned in Rome. And even though he was under arrest, he firmly believed that God was in control of everything that was happening to him. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." What is the reason that you and I kneel before our Heavenly Father? In verse 12, Paul tells us that we may approach God with freedom and confidence through faith in him. What an awesome privilege. Do we approach him with freedom and confidence? One Christian writer on this passage refers to Ephesians 3 as a chapter of application and doing. That is the beauty of our Christian lives, our walk with God. When I said yes to Steve several weeks ago, and I was praying and thinking about what I should share, he spoke to me. That's Jesus, not Steve. Through the circumstances that I found myself in. I would like to think that I'm a good and committed social worker and manager, making a difference in the lives of the people we work with and the teams that I lead on account of Jesus' love and compassion that I know and share. And as hard and pressurizing as it is in the world of social care, in the last couple of months, I found it very difficult. I came back from a wonderful family holiday to Tenerife in August to significant changes, management changes at the workplace that I'm still struggling to fully understand. I was left dealing with my own huge workload as well as that of a colleague's who was lifted and shifted to a higher position without any recruitment and selection procedures being necessary. That is possible in local authority if it's a short secondment. Apart from feeling physically and mentally drained, it feels like a kick in the gut. And there are days when I feel incompetent and inadequate. And I don't know how I would be able to carry on if it wasn't for the security of his love and the deliverance that he can bring. I thank God that he is able, because I sure am not. So is there anything that you are grappling with at the moment? Any situation in which you need to find his deliverance and the security of his love? In these verses, Paul refers to the family of God. That includes all of us. All who have believed in him in the past, all who believe in the present, and all who will believe in the future. We are all a family because we have the same Heavenly Father. God promises his love and power to his family, the church. In verse 16 it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Yes, he is able. And why is that important? Let's look at three reasons why in the three verses that follow. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Not just on a Sunday morning or at open to God, not on a fleeting or transitory basis. To dwell means to be and to live. And as he dwells in us, we dwell in him. I love the words of the psalmist that say, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Verse 18. Being rooted and established in love, you may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Glad I didn't break into song, because I remember the week at Mega Makers, and we enjoyed singing and we enjoyed learning about it from Boffin and Brainwave. God's love is total and so immense that even though we may understand the dimensions that Paul is referring to herein, we're not likely to be able to comprehend it fully. Wide. It covers the breadth of our experience and reaches out to the whole world. Jews and Nazis alike, Christians and Buddhists and atheists alike. Long. It lasts from eternity to eternity. In John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Revelation chapter 21, God shows John a new heaven and a new earth. And he said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. High, his love lifts us up to being seated with him in heavenly places. It helps us rise above the situations that we find ourselves in. Deep, it reaches out to us and lifts us up from the depths of despair, discouragement, and even death. Why are you so sad, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he affirms that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So I don't know what we were praying about earlier, but it says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How do we comprehend a love like this? Let's liken it to something that our finite minds can fathom. The love between a husband and a wife. If you are a parent, you may remember the way you felt the first time you held your newborn baby in your arms. None of those compare to God's love. Both fall far short. His love is unconditional. He calls us to be rooted and established in this love. Rooted like the mighty oak that can withstand many a storm. We have all the fullness of God available to us. This is a call to action. He is able. Are you and I willing and open to what God can do in and through us? It is up to us to appropriate that fullness through prayer, through faith, in our daily walk with him. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is also for you and me. I'd like to draw this to a close with an excerpt from Corrie ten Boom's The Hiding Place. Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound. Next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located the punishment barracks. From there, all day long, and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not the sounds of anger or of any human emotion, but of a cruelty altogether detached. Blows landing in regular rhythm, screams keeping pace. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. But as the rest of the world grew stranger, one thing became increasingly clear. And that was the reason the two of us were here. From morning until lights out, whenever we were not in ranks for roll call, our Bible was the center of an ever-widening circle of health and hope. Life in Ravensbrook took place on two separate levels, mutually impossible. One, the observable external life grew every day more horrible. The other, the life we lived with God, grew daily better. Truth upon truth, glory upon glory. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.